attracting is also one thing, but sometimes we're able to attract something but not able to keep it because we sabotage it, because we don't feel worthy of it.
I was like love bombing in a way, like too much. There was no balance in the relationship. It was just me, 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 90% of the time giving. And it's almost like as soon as January started, the honeymoon period ended.
You know, this guy is amazing. He's perfect. He treats me well, but I'm still thinking about my toxic ex. Like this guy feels a little boring. And I'm like, of course it feels boring because it's peaceful. Because you guys have to realize when you meet someone, there is this dopamine hit that like totally numbs all your issues and traumas. But then after 6 months, when dopamine fades away, that's where love really begins. That's where the work in a relationship begins.
Since 2018, I've helped thousands of people heal childhood trauma, overcome addiction, get off their anxiety and depression medication, and finally take control of their lives. Many have gone on to start their own business and become speakers, coaches, and leaders who are now transforming lives every single day. I've built a global community with over 3.5 million people, spoken on stages all over the world. And now I want to help you to do the same. If you've ever dreamed of becoming a certified life coach, making a difference and building a life of purpose and freedom, this is your moment. The LMP Coaching Institute is where healing meets transformation and passion turns into profession. Click the link below to apply now and be the change that you wish to see in the world.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode on the Luke Mindpower podcast. It's a blessing to be alive. And guess what? I'm back again with my amazing wife, Yolita. Welcome to the Luke Mindpower podcast. This is episode version number two, or part two, right? Because we're going to continue on from the last episode where we really spoke a lot about our life, our relationship, everything that we've been through. And I know there's a lot more coming as well. But yeah, Kahania, welcome to the podcast again. Are you excited for this episode?
Of course, I'm excited.
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, just moving on from everything that we shared with you guys the last episode, you know, I remember that, like we're just talking now, you know, we've completely pretty much skipped. And I guess this is just part of how we've lived, you know, like I've been through so many relationships and then I go, okay, that's it. I'm done. I need to focus on myself and I need to evolve and, like, you know, build my own success. And I guess it's also like step into like becoming a man. You know what I mean? Because it's still it's like an evolution for me, because like I look back at like that old younger version of me that basically didn't have his shit together, but he was just where he was. You know, and like we said, like the law of attraction is real. I would have never, there's no way I would have attracted you had I not done the work that I did to get to this new level.
And attracting is also one thing, but sometimes we're able to attract something but not able to keep it because we sabotage it, because we don't feel worthy of it. So that's another thing, you know, that's why 70 to 80% people that win the lotto, they lose all of it because they were able to attract winning the lotto, but they weren't able to keep it because subconsciously they didn't feel worthy of it. So naturally they got rid of it.
Yeah, but that's what I did in my previous relationships. But the thing is, I didn't know that, right? And it's funny because I was talking about this on a story or a live that I did on Instagram. And basically I said that we don't realize that we're actually blocking ourselves. So the healing or the new version of yourself is being able to express yourself and open up and speak your truth and own your voice and talk about things and not be afraid or feel shame because there's people looking at you and so you're afraid to talk. So really what you're doing is you're not aware of your emotions. You're blushing when you start communicating. You feel threatened. You feel fear. And you think that that's just me. Like that's what I used to say. I used to say, you know, I find it difficult, or I don't know why I go red, or I don't know why I'm shy, or right. And so I was in that kind of like, not a
trauma.
Victim.
It's also like a trauma response.
Of course it is. But I'm saying I wasn't like in a victim mindset. I just didn't know. I didn't know what is happening with my body. So much like those previous relationships, like what you were just giving an example of, sabotaging, 100% I was sabotaging them because I didn't know, like I didn't feel worthy. So I was like love bombing in a way, like too much. there was no balance in the relationship. It was just me 90% of the time giving. And then eventually I could see how it got overwhelming for her. And she was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it's too much. Why are you laughing? This is the thing is,
it's so funny for me to hear about your past relationships sometimes, you know, and we spoke about it so many times, but
but when I look at it, but
it's also like, don't scare people away, because I'm like, you meet the right person in the right time, and we both sabotage relationships, and we both didn't put in the work with the other people because it just wasn't meant to be. Because in our relationship, we both got triggered many times too, but we worked through those triggers, you know, and God gave us strength to stay in it and work through it.
Yeah. Triggers. They happen.
Yeah. Especially when we moved in together and we were like together nonstop on top of each other. And it's not even about moving in together, but it was like you moved in with me into my space, into my girly space. But there was the only choice because I was in New York and I couldn't leave New York yet. And there's like...
So see how there was a part of... I know we spoke about this last episode. There was a part of me still that was still like, no, I'm not waiting another month. Like, I'm with you now. Like, we've been talking. It's like I was like signing the contract straight away saying, I'm all in.
You were like pushing things and you were moving very fast. And I was trying to slow you down, but then... I could see how you take it as a rejection. So I was trying to find a good balance in between. And I also knew your traumas. And obviously, as someone that works with traumas, like, I didn't want to trigger those traumas. So I was maybe more understanding. And I also don't think you were love bombing me ever, you know. No. I think there's a difference between love bombing and just really someone being into you.
That was insecure. What I was doing in the past, but this was, you can feel when there's a balance.
Yeah.
You know, but there were still moments there where I, like, if I didn't hear from you or something like that, because we were so close, like, there was still a little bit of fear because we'd created this connection already. And once you create that connection, then yeah. But I learned as well that, like, what you fear is what you attract, you know? So slowly we evolved. And then, yeah, I was like, what's the next step? Well, I'm coming to New York, you know? So it was my first Christmas in the snow.
How beautiful.
York. It was amazing.
Christmas.
I remember New York and snow. Christmas Eve, and I woke up.
And it was snowing.
How did you just go, yeah, that's fine. Come to my place. Like, come and live at my place. You just met me like 2 months ago or 3 months ago. And all of a sudden we were just like, I was like, yeah, I'm coming to New York and I'm staying with you. And
because, come on, everything felt so natural with us, you know. And also, like, I was 33 at the time. I knew exactly what I want. And I literally prayed for someone like you, the same person. I was programming myself through hypnosis to attract the same person. So even when I didn't feel it right away, like, you know, I was like, whoa, like, he's everything I was praying for. He's everything I was programming my mind for. So it was too obvious. And, you know, I was just like, let's give it 100% and see where it takes us, you know, because I also didn't want to do long distance for another year and then move in with the person and be like, oh, gosh, I can't live with this person, you know, like, I just kind of also want to see, like, let's see what happens. Because people say, like, once you travel with someone or you move in with them, that's when you really know. And some people actually, because I live with my ex-fiance, and people are like, oh, that's because you guys moved in together before marriage. Like, you should never move in with the person you engage to before you get married, because then you're not going to get married, because the things get really tough when you move in together. And I didn't feel like that with you. It's like living with you wasn't hard. It's just the space we were in, because you moved in into my space. And that's what it was making it hard. You know, this my girly apartment in New York, living with my older best friend that was still there. And then I put you in my bedroom and I'm like, here's your desk. Here's this. Your desk was here on the right side of the room. My desk was on the left side of the room. And it was just hard.
Well, Let's talk about that, because I think that, and if you're watching right now and this inspires you, make sure that you subscribe. You're listening, if you're watching on YouTube and wherever you're tuning in from, maybe someone that you know needs to listen to, you know, our story, and also I think that what we have and what we're going to be sharing with you guys, I'm sure upcoming episodes as well, is just genuine relationship conversations, you know, what really goes on, because I think that there's not enough of it out there. And we really want to help people in relationships to open up more, to be more vulnerable, to communicate more. Because if there's anything that I'm learning in our relationship, in our marriage, is that communication is everything. And then also like being able to understand each other, it's sometimes it's very challenging, you know, but and sometimes I'll own up to this straight away. I have like this delayed mind.
You do.
I do. So,
but I love it because I'm impulsive. So it's like,
so I have a delayed mind
and I'm very impulsive.
And so when she says or suggests things to me, it doesn't register straight away. It takes me sometimes a week or maybe 3 days or 3 hours or whatever. Like it's just in the moment, I'm just like, what are you talking about? And then 3 hours later or one day later or 3 days later, I think about it and I'm like, I think she has a point. Or I think she makes sense, you know? And it's almost like it has to get past the ego as well, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe my ego comes in of like protection of like my man, I'm a man, I know what I'm doing.
I'm making decisions.
Yeah.
I'm leading.
You know, and then I go back to like just being, you know, in my natural flow and all of a sudden I'm like able to process.
Yeah. Because we had to find like a healthy balance between you leading and me letting go, because my whole life since I'm 18 years old, I've been working my ass off, like working so much. And I naturally, I'm a leader and I built business myself. So there were so many things that I had to change in order also to be in a relationship with you. And that's growing, you know, meeting in the middle, because Lucas type of person, like, work if you want to, but I don't need you to work. Like, if you love it, do it. I'm going to support that. I'm going to help you grow it. But you don't have to work. Like, he has a provider mindset. And for me, you know, like, I'm like, I can't let go of my... you told me too. You're like, wow, you just can't let go of the business. You just can't let go and relax. And I'm like, I just love it, you know? So, but I feel like we find a good balance. So naturally, sometimes I want to give Luke advice on business or something. And he's just like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's definitely challenging, because it does feel like you're kind of like coming into, even though it's our space and, you know, obviously we're together and we're doing things for our future and for our future kids and for ourselves. But yeah, sometimes it does trigger me or make me feel as if like you're coming in my space and trying to like tell me what to do and shit.
Well, first it triggers you and then it makes you grow.
No, but I mean, that's what we're supposed to do for each other, you
know? Yeah, triggers are actually really healthy in a relationship, and not enough people talk about it. They feel like if someone is triggering me, they're not for me.
I know. But I think the challenge with it is that we're not openly talking about our feelings.
You think I'm not?
No, I think that's the problem in general, right?
I think it depends. You have to...
Like address it. Yeah. What is it, you know? Like if I feel triggered by you or by something that is happening, then I'll have to talk about it.
Yeah, some people are just passive aggressive. They will be mad, but they won't tell you why they're mad, you know?
Yeah. So I came to New York, just going back there, and then I completely like moved away from my natural habitat, right? My natural like,
and me too. I lost my routine too.
Yeah, because I was in your space all of a sudden.
I became like a mother to Luke. Like I went into mother position. Like, did you take your supplements? Are you okay? Did you eat? Here is your breakfast. Here is your lunch.
You did.
Because I was so worried that he came to foreign city, foreign country.
Yeah.
He's in a foreign space.
And you know, you're such a New York, like, I know where to go. I know this place. I know that. Follow me. Like, when we're going to walk around New York anywhere, Yulita is walking first. And she's like, here, this is where we are, whatever. She's owning
the city. New Yorkers will understand.
Yeah. Like, she's bossing herself around there and you're just following, you know?
And so, you didn't like that either because you felt like you're following my lead.
Yeah. So, you know, we're learning about how we're finding our own balance. Of, you know, where we step up, we communicate, where one leads and the other, you know, I don't think it's like, you know, I'm following your lead. It's more about just having each other's back, you know, like I'm busy, I'm hustling all the time. Like I'm literally in the office all the time. But so are you, You know, you've got your like routine in the morning with everything that you do, and then you're studying like so many hours, then you're doing hypnotherapy, then, you know, you're still managing and running your business, then you're studying at Harvard. Like, there's just so many things that you're doing, you know, and like,
I'm extreme.
Seriously, like, but that's who
we
are.
But we give each other space to do so. And I think it's so important in a relationship that you are with someone that also is happy with themselves and fulfilled with life and has some passions and hobbies. Because when one, imagine you working all day and all I do is like, oh, stop working. Like, you're not giving me enough attention. You're not giving me enough time, you know? And because I have my passions and my business, or even if I didn't have my business, but my passions, like I'm just happy and I can spend time with myself. Like, I never bother you, you know, unless like you really, you know.
Well, yeah, I think those moments too, when you do
turn off the lights,
come to see me in my office and I'm busy, like I have to learn as well to communicate there.
Yeah.
And just go, hey, like I'm finishing something, like give me 5 minutes or give me 10 minutes. Because like sometimes you like come in and then like I'm like dismissive or something and you're like, you know, so much for like coming to say hello.
And oh, I'm just like walking in and turning off the lights. Okay, you're done working. It's too late.
Yeah. But that whole New York experience for me, yeah, I eventually felt trapped. Like I pushed myself so much into your environment and I bought a desk. I bought a podcast mic. I tried to actually do Luke Mind Power inside your bedroom, right? And your apartment there. And eventually... I think it was an accumulation. And so I hope that if you're listening right now, that this maybe inspires you as well. You know, when you're stepping into a new life, because this is basically the way that I see it, what we went through from December, January, February, 2024 to 2025 was this reprogramming of my brain. And now, obviously, we've worked, like, we've gotten to this level now where we've already got married and we're here. But back then, right, there was like this, it was the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
You know, it was June or July till December.
Yeah.
And it's almost like as soon as January started, the honeymoon period ended, you know? And then my, like, it's almost like that excitement and that intensity and that like, oh my gosh, like we're together and we're in a relationship. Oh my God, we met. Finally, I met someone, you know, and then that slowed down, you know, and then I wasn't able to comprehend, like, I guess how I was feeling.
Well, because also like with your history, like Luke's never been in a serious relationship where he lives with the person, where he actually builds a serious relationship. So for you, that was so new to experience, you know, like all these triggers. Like for me, I've been in a long-term relationship. So for me, it was all natural. So I also sometimes laugh that you're being so dramatic about the challenges and triggers in a relationship, because even if we trigger each other or it gets challenging, like, this feels still so easy and peaceful to me comparing to my past relationships. Because those triggers, like, they almost like excite me. Like when you challenge me with something, I'm like, oh, I can see where I can grow. Like when I'm rolling my eyes, he's like, why did you just roll your eyes? And I'm like, thank you for pointing that out. Like, you know, like, thank you. I want to be a better person. Like I do, you know, where I don't know, like the partner in the past would start like, I don't know, let's say calling me names, right? Like, because I rolled my eyes. So yeah. So we still have a very healthy way of communicating.
Yulita has like a different form of communication through her eyes. I don't know if anyone else knows how to do that stuff. Like somehow,
all the women know.
Somehow she like moves her eyes and she's talking through her eyes. Like instead of talking through her mouth, she just switches. And I still haven't understood what it means exactly, but it doesn't happen very often.
I think you're pretty good in understanding what it is.
I'm just like, oh shit, there it is again. But now what I've learned through this experience where, you know, that period there was, we're getting married in 7 months. You know, I proposed to you in New York, you know, it was freezing and I took you up to the top. How about the time? What time was it when we were, when we opened the door? Remember the time?
3:23.
It was 3:23 PM.
my angel number.
That's her birthday.
And I was like, oh my God, my, and not knowing he's proposing to me.
Yeah, she didn't know. She's like, oh my God, look at the time.
I was like, oh my God, it's 3:23 and it's December 22nd. So it was like his angel number 22nd and my angel number 3:23. And you were probably like, oh shit, signs everywhere.
Yeah, no, but there was, there's just been too many signs. And then I proposed to you. So then was the whole next thing of like, when are we getting married? Where are we getting married? You know, and there was all of this, like this, and we had like your cousins were over, then we had your friends over.
Yeah, we had nonstop, you know, family
and,
over.
And it was happening actually quite fast. And I was just going with it because it felt right as well. You know, but then, I don't know, it was like...
It was overwhelming. It was overwhelming for you. It was overwhelming
like,
for me.
Yeah, and also like inviting all of my family from Australia because we were saying we're having the wedding. Where was the wedding supposed to be?
In Poland.
In Poland, right?
So, yeah, and that's, you have to guys realize like on top of all these changes, moving in together and all this planning and family being over, not us not being able to connect and talk because there's always constantly people over. On top of that, we are planning the wedding that's 6 months away and inviting people from all over the world. And they all like angry that like we are giving them last minute notice.
But I also remember like the whole invitation as well, like to telling my family in Australia, come, this is where it is. And I was actually like more, I wasn't as grounded as I am right now. Back then I was just like, this is when it is. This is what it is. And like, come. Like I wasn't like, oh yeah, we'll organize this and do that. Like I was just like, we're getting married and that's it. Like figure it out, you know? And whereas now, you know, I think very differently because I think just back then it was just like so much was going on and dealing with everybody's questions and like, where are we going to stay? What do we do this, do that? Asking like it was too much.
Yeah, it was very overwhelming for me too. And
But you didn't say anything.
Well,
you were trying to make it like go.
Yeah, because what I was like, I wasn't gonna say anything because I knew it's on your part, like that you stress out, right? With your family. So I couldn't come out from me to be like, you know what, let's just
do
not
you
do
think
that.
We're doing this too fast?
No, it's not even, I didn't think we were doing it too fast, but I was just gonna say something like, okay, you know what, this is becoming too stressful and inconvenient for a lot of people, so let's just push it till later. I was not gonna say that, so I was waiting for you when you said something like that, and I was like, but then I took it personal, you know.
I'm just before we continue on, I'm just curious because your hair looks beautiful, but like there's this thing that's like sticking up and I'm like, is that like normal? Because
no,
I'm like,
it's probably not.
Yeah, because I'm like, you're gonna watch this episode, you're gonna go, oh my God,
why didn't
you tell
me
about my hair?
Okay, well, too late now.
Yeah, well, that's better. Anyway, so we went through that and then there was a lot of fear.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of fear that came up.
And triggers.
Triggering. Then I was confused. Then I was just like, are we going too fast? Like, it was like, now I look back at it and I was just like, geez, man, like freaking hell, what the hell were you doing? It was like, you know.
And, you know, thank God for the work I've done before because
oh
I was
gosh.
So grounded
like,
in all of it.
If she wasn't as self-aware and conscious of herself and knowing her worth and who she is.
It wouldn't work out.
You would have left me.
Yeah.
100%. You would have gone, this bloke has no idea what he's doing and who I am. I'm done.
No, I kind of said it, but I wasn't done.
How come?
No, because I just know, like, I know how our subconscious mind works. And I know that we always fear unfamiliar. And I'm like, here is this guy. Like, and, you know, and it's also like we didn't have any problems. Our relationship was perfect, peaceful, beautiful, everything we both ever dream of. And here you are, like, acting like you're getting cold feet or getting stressed with wedding planning and getting overwhelmed. And I'm like, yeah, this feels overwhelming, sure. But I was like, if you're going to try to run away right now, like you're going to regret that for the rest of your life, because I've been through long-term relationships and I know how special this relationship is, how special this love is. And I'm sure a lot of people relate, like, it's not easy to find your person. And I knew that like this relationship is so beautiful and so peaceful. And I feel like you are my person, but I'm like, if you're like gonna run away or sabotage right now, then I guess you're not my person. So I was just like, listen, you figure out what you want to do, but I'm not going to be here like wasting my time if you're not sure if you want to marry me. Because, but also like I wasn't hearing what you were saying. Luke was more saying like, okay, this feels overwhelming. My family's complaining about last minute plans. Maybe we should push it back. And I'm here like, if you don't want to marry me, then, you know, then don't marry me. And then we were both like, okay, what are we talking about? Like, we love each other. We want to be with each other. Like, let's just find like the solution to it. And we did.
Yeah, that was challenging.
That was, I think, the most challenging thing in our relationship.
I needed time and I needed some space.
And God. I feel like that's that when really you reconnected helped.
Yeah, that's 100%. I was praying every day and I was talking to God and I was like, why do I feel this way? What's going on? So the beautiful thing about it, right? And that's then I went to Chicago. I stayed with my beautiful cousin there. And then you came and visited me like a couple of weeks later, which was beautiful. But what I realized from that experience was the old Luke. And so listen to this as well, because what we've actually been working on for you guys is a amazing course on how to attract healthy love, how to reprogram your mind to attract healthy love, to attract the love of your life. So we can't wait to release that. And you'll probably see some more information in the link in the description below this video so that you can register for that course, because doing that work is going to help you to get what we have, you know,
and not sabotage it or lose it.
Absolutely.
Because so many people are able to attract it, but then they sabotage or lose it. And so many people come to us and say, oh, I met this perfect person, but I don't know, like, let's say they make me anxious. Right? Like I have clients that come to me, I don't know, like I don't understand, since I've been with my partner, I have this weird stomach issues or migraines. And she's like, and then I saw a TikTok that it says that your body knows before you do that they're not good for you. And I was like, that is not true. Don't listen to it. Of course, if they're doing something wrong and you're getting the signs, that's a completely different thing. But if the relationship is great and you getting those signs, that is just your body. Yes. Telling you something is off because it's unfamiliar. So your body is trying to warn you because this feels so strange. And if it feels strange, it's a threat and it's dangerous, you know? And that's what you kind of had to do. You had this an anxiety and you had to work through it. Thank God to the tools we have, you know? And
what do you mean? Thank God for shout out to Stephen Sainato on Instagram, and he's a good friend of mine from Connecticut. He was actually helping me and I was working with him, you know, through that time as well. And he really helped me reconnect with God as well, because, you know, he's very spiritual and his help and love, you know, he's such a loving soul. But just to go deeper into it, and then we'll move on to some other stuff, because I think it's quite fascinating how the old Luke was used to a certain type of life, you know, and through that period of like early 2023, moved to Dubai, you know, and I was living the single bachelor life.
Pretty much your whole life.
Yeah, like on and off, you know. Well, it wasn't.
But you've never had a relationship.
No, but I was like, I was seeing someone, then I wasn't seeing someone.
Yeah, but I'm
saying
it's completely different.
So my brain, right, before I met you, wasn't actually comfortable and used to the commitment, you know? So as we started, like after we finished the honeymoon period, that was where the brain was starting to sabotage.
Yeah.
Exactly what you were just saying.
Because you guys have to realize when you meet someone, there is this dopamine hit that like totally numbs all your issues and traumas. Like your traumas are not coming up to the surface because there's so much dopamine and serotonin that it's literally healing you. But then because our brains have this ability to adapt, when your brain adapt, that dopamine and all these happy hormones, serotonin, oxytocin, they all start fading away. And what happens is that's when all the issues and traumas are coming up to the surface. And that's when most people start running away because they think we lost the spark, we lost the attraction, or things are getting tough. You start triggering each other, right? Because before you did something wrong and I was like, that's okay, it doesn't matter, because the dopamine is so high that I'm like, numb. But then after 6 months, when dopamine fades away and you do something, I'm like, I can't believe it, you did it, you know, and then we start, you know, having conflict. So it's very important for people to understand that it's okay to feel like this spark went away after 6 months. Like, that's where love really begins. That's where the work in a relationship begins. That's when you, if everything else is perfect, like, it's worth staying in. Because now I feel like I'm even more in love with you than I was at the beginning. I love you so much more. And also, this love feels so much better than the first 6 months. That was so intense. It was like draining me. I couldn't do anything else, you know? And now I'm like, I'm doing me. I'm focused on me, my business, my studying, my passions. And at the same time, I have the most amazing person next to me building with me. And that's like the best feeling in the world.
I love you too. Yeah. So that period, that part is a good test of like, oh, not test, but like understanding how you're becoming someone new. It's unfamiliar and your brain is almost going to, and because I'm 40, I'm not 30, like I've lived, you know? So there was also the fear, you know, the fear that this was never going to be happening or never going to be real for me that I had to deal with, you know? So anyway, that was a situation that we learned a lot from and we grew from it. And here we are today, you know?
And most people, it's funny because like you don't really escape from the partner. You really escape from yourself and the person you have to become in order to stay in a relationship, you know? That's why so many people get in this relationship 6 months, okay, next, 6 months, next, 6 months, because they never do the work they have to do in order to become the person that actually stays in a relationship, that actually builds marriage, that builds family, you know? They just like keep escaping. Then they're like victims, like, why I can't find my person? I'm like, well, maybe because you're not becoming a person that has this type of relationship.
You're very smart, you know?
Oh, that's what I do for a living. I'm so passionate about it. I could have like 10 more podcasts talking about it because I really want to save people from walking away from good people just because I don't feel spark or it feels boring. So many women come to me and they say, you know, this guy is amazing. He's perfect. He treats me well, but I'm still thinking about my toxic ex. Like, this guy feels a little boring and, you know, and I'm like, of course it feels boring because it's peaceful. You're so used to the chaos, the roller coaster, up and downs that you had in your childhood, that's what you're looking for because that's what's familiar. So if you can, I'm like, you're not trying escape from him. You're trying escape from yourself and your triggers, you know? So many times after they do hypnotherapy, they call me and they're like, Yulita, he is so hot to me right now. I can't believe it. I almost left him. Yulita, like everything got so much better right now. Like the attractions almost get so much better because we don't realize we often pick especially when we unhealed, which we never really fully healed, but we pick people subconsciously based on our traumas, right? Based on our wounds. So that's what gives us that butterflies in our stomach, you know? So then when you meet someone that's perfect on the paper, you don't feel the chemistry. Really, it's not the chemistry you're looking for. It's you looking for the triggers and the trauma bond.
And how did that work with us?
Well, we definitely had some type of triggers, right? Like we grew through it, but we were also healed enough and conscious enough to pick the partner. We didn't pick each other, like we said, actually, in a previous episode, based on, oh, he's so handsome. I mean, he's very handsome. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying it wasn't we knew we're not each other's type. But we were like, wow, this person is so valuable. They have all these things I've been looking for in a partner. And I really enjoy talking to that person, you know. But if I was in a bar, let's say, and I'm your type, right? Like the type you would normally go for. You would pick me only based on my looks.
Yeah, but that's the biggest problem in today's world is that everybody's judging people from face value, like from just the physical. And like what I've learned with our marriage is that it's got, like, of course, looks is a bonus.
Yeah, but that fades away.
But it's the personality, it's the time, it's the care.
It's the whole package.
It's everything. It's how you talk to each other. It's how you care about each other. It's how you appreciate each other. It's what you do for each other, you know? It's like there's so much. And it's almost like if you think that you can be with someone just because of their looks.
Or money, because of your money or success.
Yeah.
It's never going to work out.
It's then we moved forward, and then we thought that we were pregnant.
Yes, and then we got pregnant, and we were so happy.
Yeah, and that was kind of like, you know, we were planning already to get married anyway, but that just kind of like made it even more like, I guess, urgent in a way. You know, because we were like, okay,
we were supposed to do a big wedding, like,
yeah, but the thing is, how we were talking was that, you know, we didn't want to have a child not being like to being like just boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You know, we wanted to be husband and wife.
Yeah.
And then everything was going well, and then 12 weeks later,
not 3 months, we lost our little girl. And that was very hard. And that's another thing, that so many relationships would fall apart after something like that. But like, you were just so amazing and such a support. And I don't want to get emotional, but yeah, it was very hard.
Yeah. I mean, some of these moments that we've gone through together, actually, I've found like, you know, and obviously there's a few, like then Bapcha died.
Then your Bapcha died.
Bapcha died in Australia, my mom's mom. And then as time went on, and then, you know, and then Patrick, you know, what happened to your brother? And for me as your husband to like be there to support you, to deal with like what we were going through, almost like it was, I mean, I just knew I had to support, I had to be there for you. I had to do what
like
I had to do.
Natural, like, to you. You didn't have to be like,
I also felt like I found it difficult to like understand fully your pain, you know, like
a physical pain.
Yeah, like what you're feeling and what you're going through, and all, because, you know, you're of course, like even the miscarriage was difficult, like going to the hospital and like, you know, the pain that you were going through, like the sharpness of it.
It was really like traumatic for me, and that's when I realized so many women going through it. And they don't even like talk about it, or they get so strong and they move forward with life, but it's really traumatic, you know? And it's painful on the physical level, but it's also painful, especially on a spiritual and mental level, you know? So, yeah. So I was so grateful, because I think actually it brought us closer, you know?
Yeah. So we know that we will be blessed with children very soon, you know.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Like, our baby's going to come back to us. That's how I believe it. That soul just came to prepare us, teach us a lesson. We
for us
leveled
to become
up
healthier, better versions, and ready for that next stage.
And we
stage.
Really leveled up after
Like
on every single level. Because when something like that happens, like, I take it as a lesson. And I was like, okay, where can I improve as a person? So next time my baby comes, she actually stays, you know?
She?
Huh? Because it was a girl.
I know, but like you said, next time she comes, I'm like, is it a she?
I mean, she's going to come back. Sure. I'm sure. No doubt.
So, you know, one thing for me growing up as well, you know, was getting over the not feeling enough, was getting over the bullying, getting over the name calling. You know, I got judged a lot. I got, you know, bullied a lot. I definitely grew up feeling very insecure, and I was looking for a leader. I was looking for a father figure. You know, I was looking for, and I've learned that now, how that has evolved through my sister's relationships with their husbands, my brother-in-laws, and I've learned how they impacted me as well, because my dad was basically emotionally unavailable, and he was just so busy working and providing for the family that he just did what he did. And I'm not even, there's no piece of me that's angry, you know. It's just learning about, you know, how did I evolve, and what helped me to just keep moving forward, even though I always felt not seen and I felt insecure and I didn't feel enough, you know. So, you know, what happened with your brother?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to, like?
Yeah, you can talk about it.
Yeah. So when that happened, you know, and that he, you know, I mean, do you want to?
Attempted suicide.
Yeah, he attempted suicide. And, you know, it cut deep for me because, you know, obviously I've spoken to him. I've spent some time with him. And I, when I saw him the first time, you know, I actually, like, for me was, like, I saw me in him.
Yeah, you always say that. You're like, I see my old self in Patrick. And Patrick was just, like, bullied in school, you know, since he was 7 years old. On and off, you know. And we really did everything in our power to, like, help him. And that's the thing that, like, you don't even realize how much person is suffering because you can't really see it. Like, you see them all the time laughing with friends, hanging out with friends. It's not like they're in a room. So, like, you always think it's never going to happen to me or my loved ones. And then it happens and it's just really also life-changing.
Yeah, it's almost, like, hard to comprehend that this has happened, like, in our family. It's, like,
especially with the work we do, right? We save people, like, from it every day.
Yeah,
and then,
like, I have people DMing me all the time saying, you saved my life. Like,
but, you know, like, you don't work with your family, you know?
I know
that. And that's
the
problem.
I know.
You, even when you try, like, so many times I try, he's like, stop, sister, like, don't talk, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean, like, I'm his sister, he's not gonna listen.
But, you know, obviously the bullying started when he, you know, started realizing that he had that alopecia, right? The he started losing.
You're always
his
an easy target when you're different.
Yes,
and
but I also, like, I see that now and I'm just like, your differences is what makes you great. But your ability to own those differences and your ability to be empowered, your ability to be, I guess, encouraged or reminded that your difference is a superpower. Like, it's good that you're different. Like, that you stand out, that you're not like everyone else, is a good thing, not a bad thing. But when you're constantly being bullied, called names, ridiculed, feeling left out, feeling judged, like, constantly, then over time, what happens to your brain? Like, how do you see yourself? How do you think of yourself? So when I look back at, like, how I grew up, I was dealing with this since, like, because I was always triggered by people's remarks, by how people talk to me, by, you know.
And it's so hard for a child because, like, you go to school and they require so much from you. You have to study things you don't even like. Then you have, like, people in school bullying you, then you have teachers coming at you. So, like, I understand those kids are, like, suffering and struggling. And then you come home and maybe your parents also say something like, why did you get, you know, bad grades? And there's just so much, like, we don't even realize as adults, but the kids really don't have it easy nowadays. And then on top of this, social media, like, this generation just grows up, like, comparing themselves constantly to social media, you know?
Well,
and
I
the
see
bullying
it
happens through social media.
Like, 100%. I see it in, like, on social media, because obviously I use it, you know, for our business. But, like, my brain spots, like, things and just goes, don't even think about it. You know, like, focus on your shit. You don't need to, like, look at that stuff. Like, don't need to compare yourself, you know, stay in your lane. And
yeah, because we are aware and conscious.
Yeah, but for some people, a lot of people, I think you can, you don't realize it because you might be looking at something that you think is inspiring, but it's also
on a subconscious level.
On a subconscious level, creating this comparison of, like, I'm not enough.
Absolutely.
Right. And then if you keep doing that and doing that and doing that, you walk around on that lower vibration, which is not going to help you to attract the life that you want, because you don't, when you're on a lower vibration, you don't feel good.
Yeah. So always follow the people that inspire you, give you blueprint on how to achieve something, and not just people that, like, showing off their life and making you not feel not good enough, but not giving you any tips on how they got there.
I think the best thing, especially when, because I know so many people look up to us, you know, but I think the best thing that, obviously, like what you just said, like, follow people who inspire you, but also follow people who actually remind you, hey, you're not me. Like, do your shit, like stay in your lane, like focus on your creativity, your greatness, like focus on what you're afraid of, overcome your fear, like, you know, lean into, like, take an action and get out of your comfort zone. Do, like, live your life. Don't think that you have to become like us. It's like, be inspired by us, but you have your own identity.
And we actually give people tools on how to achieve their dreams. You know, it's not like we're just showing, like, oh, here's the perfect relationship, but we're not going to share all the downs or, you
know. No, because, I mean, that's bullshit. You know, like, everyone's like showing this perfect life, and it's like, well, yeah, there's black and white. There's up and down, you know, there's a balance of like, okay, before you get it to be really, really amazing, you also have parts of the journey where, you know, you have to have these little challenges. It's like, it's not always just the easy process, but, you know, it depends on, I guess, how open people are at talking about
stuff. And
how
authentic they are, yeah.
You know?
And Luke is the most authentic person I know, and I learn from you every day. Yeah. I'm so grateful that I have a person like you next to me, and you're so good with not caring what people think, and I don't know, you just like...
Look, I, you know, with our triggers, with our challenges, when we have conversation stuff, I always like those triggers sometimes in my brain, I'm just like, fuck. I'm just like, fuck this, and I'm like really angry, you know? But at the same time, like, as soon as the trigger goes down and then we're able to talk, it's the most healing thing that happens, you know, which I think is, it's like, oh my gosh, like, look where but like, in my defense as well, I never lose the shit. I never lose my plots.
Yeah.
I never, like,
amazing.
Get the fucking thing and go, fuck you and this and that. And,
yeah, we just,
like,
don't do it.
No, I don't have that temper, and I don't, and I'm not going to change.
Yeah, I have, you know, that temper, but I don't do it.
Oh, yeah, you do. Hey, far out, man. You're like, good. I'm just like,
no.
Geez,
oh,
man.
Come on.
Like,
no, like, I have a
you've
temper.
You've got that New York shit, man. Like, that's part of, like,
I think it's a little bit of New York, a little bit of being in the Aries, a little bit of being
she's
Slavic.
She's got that fire.
Eastern European temper.
And I'm just like,
people know what I'm talking about.
I'm just like, why are you yelling?
Oh, but that's the thing. I'm not even yelling. Like, we actually, I think we solve things so peacefully. And you, yeah, you're so dramatic about it. You're like, I can't believe you said it. I'm like, it's not even that bad. Like, it's so peaceful. But it's triggering for you.
Nah, I just need to remind you that you don't need to yell. You know, and I do. Like, I'm very, very calm.
Yeah, but sometimes I like to, like, yell a little bit. It feels good.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few yelling moments, you know, but...
Really? I don't think you ever, like, yell at me.
Yeah, I know. You know, sometimes I've got...
I don't even think we ever yell at...
You know, it's funny because, like, when you're getting the shits, you're like, you're annoying. You're annoying. You know, and I never say that. I always say, you're triggering me.
No, I say a different thing.
And I say, but, and you say, however. And I'm like, but. I've noticed that about us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there is a few links down below this YouTube video or wherever you're tuning in. There is we've got our communities that you can access, whether it's on Telegram, WhatsApp. You've got our course on how to attract healthy love into your life. If you're looking to become a certified life coach and you want to start your own online coaching business, and also inside our institute, there is an application form below this video as well. So you can apply to our institute, but inside our institute as well, Yulita, I forced her in a nice way to put her hypnotherapy certification as well, so you can become a hypnosis coach as well inside our institute.
You motivated me, not forced me.
I know, I did. Well, what does it feel like to live with someone who yells at their clients when he's coaching?
Well,
because you heard me, like,
yeah,
like,
but it's funny because you yell on podcasts, you yell at your clients, but like, you're scared to yell at your wife.
Nah, but because it's not.
I'm kidding.
Nah,
you
imagine I was yelling the way that I
no,
do. Oh my god!
No,
like,
no, and I love that about you, because you yell because you're passionate. You never yell because you're actually angry.
Nah, and that's why, like, a lot of people misunderstand me. But I don't care. I'm good with being misunderstood. You know, I just know my spaces, and I don't need to be around people who don't understand me. That's why you be yourself. You attract your tribe. Your vibe attracts your tribe. And guess what? We have a live event coming up.
Yay. Another one. I love
that. Did you know that?
No, but Luke has this thing that like every week he's like, we have an event this week. I'm like, oh.
No, but I'm saying this is
like, you know, people prepare to this stuff. He's just like, we're doing event because he's so authentic and so natural in it. And he doesn't understand that some people need like.
So if you're listening to this right now, 100%.
He was like, oh, in 2 days, we're doing event for like 1,000 people.
No, listen, if you're listening to this right now, 100%, there's a link below this video. Again, there's lots of links below this video, so check them out. But we are having a live event in Australia.
Oh, okay. That I just found out too.
Yeah.
I will check the link below.
So I've been keeping that hush-hush, and I wanted to surprise some people. It's funny because some of our clients were actually going, do an event in Australia. So it's been a couple of years and it just makes complete sense for us to do it because we will be visiting family. And I was just like, you know what? It's time to do an event in Newcastle, which is where I was born.
Yeah, exciting. It's like the history made there.
So, of course, you're going to be a guest speaker.
Where it all started. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a guest speaker. Wow, great. Love it. If you guys wondering how is it to be married to Luke Mindpower, that's how it is. Like he just tells me like, you're going to be a guest speaker at the event that's going to probably be like a few hundred people. And yeah, be ready. You always have to be ready to be a speaker.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is the thing, right? But, you know, when we were in Dubai, it was this year, you know, and then we went into a shop and we met our little doggy.
But I think we need to leave that story for another because
we're running out of time, but I was just like, there's so many things and like
so many.
How Toffee has, which is our little dog, a Pomeranian.
Changed our lives.
Has changed our life is pretty amazing. And we'll talk more about that. But I think the bigger thing is, you know, just before we finish this episode is, you know, I think what happened to Patrick, every time I saw a child, I thought to myself, or every time I saw a teenager, I thought about Patrick. Patrick became in every kid I saw was Patrick. And I was like, I wonder what these friends of these boys are saying to each other. I wonder if they actually like are real friends or if they actually bully each other, yeah. You know? And
Patrick is still in coma as for right now.
Yeah, so he's still in a coma.
Because I know a lot of people ask me and I just don't want to make it a thing on social media because like talking about it every day because obviously our Instagram pages are here to inspire and uplift people, but it just wouldn't feel authentic not to share that part of our life because I am going through life right now with the broken heart and it is very hard to navigate and not feel like it's called the dualism of life, you know, like you can be grieving, but you also can be happy. You can be hurt, but you can also feel grateful. And that's what I'm learning right now because we have so many plans and, you know, like so many things that we have to do. And part of me just want to be home and crying. And that's how I was first 3 weeks. Another thing I just have to add, like you were such an amazing support during that time. Like, I don't think I would get through it like without your support. And also like, things like that are so hard in a relationship because it was like I was not myself and I couldn't sleep. Actually, I was waking up in the middle of the night screaming and I couldn't eat. I didn't shower. I was in my pajamas, going to the hospital every day in my pajama, literally. And you were just there. And like sometimes I realize I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't say one word to you the whole day. And you were just there next to me. And I would be like, I'm so sorry for like being like this. And you would be always like, you don't have to apologize. Like, I'm here for you when you need me. And I have felt this guilt, but imagine having a partner that's like, oh, you're different. Like, you know, like take care of yourself or like you ignoring me or you distant or this or that. And like you put your business on pause. Like we drop everything. We were supposed to be in Dubai right now. We let go of our plans just like for you to be here supporting Patrick, me and my family. And, you know, I'm so grateful.
Love you. Yeah, I think this is what relationships are all about. You know, this is what love is all about. You know, just being able to have each other's back in these kind of moments as well is probably where you realize for sure that that's your person, you know? Because, yeah, it is challenging. Like I'm, you know, managing the business and our future and our life and everything like that. And then, you know, you've got to, you know, still be there for your family and like, you know, for our family. And you know, and we have to, you know, be very careful, like how we spend our time, where we, you know, not that you have to be careful of that, but I'm just saying, like, we've got so much going on that, you know, and I've also got to be supportive and, like, you know, how do I, you know, be involved more and how do I make it easier for you where...
Yeah, how we continue to support them without, like, sabotaging where we've worked so,
yeah,
so hard.
Yeah, because that's the challenge. It's like, you know, we also have our own life to live and family to build and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's very easy for that to be consuming you in a way. But I think we've found a pretty good balance. And if you are listening right now and you've ever struggled with not feeling enough, or you know someone that maybe is going through something difficult because of bullying or whatever, I guess this is a good message to, like, be mindful of what you say to people. And that's why...
Be kind always. The comments that every day where you say to people how you treat them, like, please just be kind to people because everyone is struggling with something.
Yeah, because everyone's going through something you know nothing about, and that's why communication is the connection.
And remember that on social media you only see, like, small percentage, you know, you just never know.
No. But we would like to ask, you know, for your prayers for Patrick as well, you know, so
bring him back home to us.
We really pray for his healing and for him to be able to be fully regenerated and fully alive so that he can enjoy the rest of his life, you know. So just as we finish up, what I'd love to do is just to say a prayer. And if you'd like to say a prayer with us, and we'd love to be able to read your prayers, if you'd like to share it with us in the comments of this video, so that we can, you know, I think the collective power of people praying and intentionally thinking positively towards Patrick's healing is something that, you know, is really powerful. So, dear God, Jesus, we pray for Patrick's healing. We pray for his life. We pray for his energy to shift. We pray for his cells in his body to just rejuvenate. You know, we trust in you that you have all the best intentions for Patrick's transformation, and that he's going through his healing journey right now. We pray that you regenerate his mind and his body and every single cell in his body so that he can return to us being more stronger, being wiser, being the beautiful boy that we know him to be, and even better. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. We really, really appreciate your time, and we hope that you really enjoyed this time spending, you know, this time on our podcast. And please make sure that you like, subscribe, follow our podcast, and make sure that you share this with your friends as well, because, you know, definitely more people need to hear authentic conversations about real relationships.
And life.
And life. And of course, this is not the last episode that we're going to do together, because as you can see, there's still so many different things that we have to talk about, and we will on the next episode. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you, baby.
I love you. Thanks for joining us.
Love you too.
We'll see you guys soon.